1. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, as always, Alan Jacoby. Solo tonight. Well, not my co-host with James, but I have someone great with me. I've been on the show before. Great friend of the show. Great friend of mine. The great patriot, Cynthia Hughes, from the Patriot Freedom Project. What's going on, Cynthia?
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me back. I'm so happy to be here.
You are at the forefront of advocating for January 6th politically persecuted and prosecuted individuals, other patriots, I'll call them. And you got the Patriot Freedom Project, and you got a lot of stuff going on. The last time you were on the show, we were, you know, talking about, you know, what the organization's about, what you do for January 6th defendants, and I'd say equally important, or more importantly, their families who were left behind while their loved ones are in prison. So why don't you briefly just give a quick overview of that again for those that maybe didn't catch the last episode, and then we'll get into what your what's happening now with the organization.
Sure. Well, you know, we're still on mission, still helping families, still helping lawyers. You know, still going to trials, going to sentencings, you know, making sure these wives have their bills paid and their mortgage, their rent, you know, making sure people are, you know, at least we're attempting to try to have them have a fair trial. And that means getting them a good lawyer. So we're still, you know, on point doing a lot of work, you know, like that. We are in the process of making a docuseries. We just released part one. You can find that on our website, dueprocessdenied.org. It was produced by X Strategies, which is owned by Alex Brusewitz.
Great guy.
Yes, yes. And you can learn about some of the families. You could see some of the families, some of the children. You know, and what they're enduring and what they're going through. And you know, there's a family in there. Her name is Rebecca and her three sons. Two plus years now, they still haven't seen their loved one. And they will see him for the first time in 2 weeks at his trial. It's been over 2 years. It's been 2 years and a few months.
That individual, do you know what the charges are for that specific individual that's literally been incarcerated for over 2 years?
Well, you know, he unfortunately is charged with assault.
Okay.
But this is somebody who didn't go inside the building. You know, a lot of people are charged with assault when in fact they did not commit any assault.
Sure.
Like, for example, I don't know if you're familiar with the video footage and the pictures of the very large Trump sign that Ray Epps was standing under and pushing into the police, but never got arrested.
Right.
People are charged with assault just for standing near that sign. So lots of nonsense going on with these charges. And I don't know if you saw Tom Cotton today,
No.
But Tom Cotton, you know, was, you know, challenging the recent decision that came down from the appeals court on the obstruction charge. There was a 4 month long appeal, and we just got an opinion from three different judges who, you know, who took up the appeal of the matter. Attorney Nick Smith, who's a great J6 lawyer. He is about to wrap up the Proud Boy trial. He is the attorney for Ethan Nordin. I wish I could curse right now, but another, you know what show.
Curse on my show.
that trial was the trial of the century. I mean, it was a 4 month long trial, a lot of corruption, a lot of lies. Literally, you have a judge trying to help the prosecution win the case. It's pretty disgraceful, the amount of hardship on the families of those five men. You know, I'm sorry, I got off topic. So Tom Cotton today really challenged the, you know, the validity of the obstruction charge and how it, you know, came to be.
Right.
And if you or your listeners, if you follow Julie Kelly from American Greatness, she's really been on top of, you know, reporting on J6 and the corruption from the DOJ and these judges. Right. And so I really encourage everybody to go see, you know, what Tom Cotton had to say today and how he really, you know, called out Lisa Monaco about it. A lot of people are charged with the obstruction charge. Like my nephew, for example, is still sitting in prison on nonviolent charges. But because he was found guilty on the obstruction charge, the judge felt the need to give him a 5-year prison sentence with no criminal history.
Based on just the obstruction charge.
Yes. Yes. Well, you know, Alan, you know, we've talked about this before, you know, my nephew, again, he's a jerk and he's bombastic and he's insensitive and he makes jokes that he shouldn't. And he says harsh words that he shouldn't.
But he's not and a criminal.
He's not a criminal. That's exactly right. He's not a criminal. And so he's accused of being a white supremacist and he's accused of being, you know, anti-Semitic because he's made some very unflattering comments, but he doesn't have criminal history. He's never been charged with a hate crime because he's not anti-Semitic or a white supremacist.
You know, and not to interrupt you, because I argue this point all the time. Listen, I'm sure that your nephew is not a white supremacist. He's not into the hate speech and everything else. Like I have very dark humor. I am not a racist. I tell all kinds of off-color jokes and I'll say things, you know. Even take the worst white supremacist that when I say the worst, that uses the worst words, Cynthia, the worst statements that might have the worst ideological thoughts and frame of mind. They're not breaking the law because, listen, there's no such thing as hate speech. You could say the most vile things to the best people. And that's First Amendment free speech. And it's amazing what our criminal justice system does. And even the court of public opinion where, well, they will accuse someone of who's not a white supremacist based off what they might wear or who they might be around or what they might look like. It doesn't matter. They're not criminals. They're not breaking any laws. You know, it really aggravates me when I hear, well, you know, they're being accused of being a white supremacist and then they use that. A judge will use that or a jury will use that to convict on a crime that being a white supremacist has nothing to do with that, with being convicted of that crime. You follow?
Yes. Yes. You know, I mean, I'm living it with him and I'm watching it with many other families, you know, so, you know, we have another young man who's caught up in the January 6th debacle. He's a J6 defendant, no criminal history, you know, very profound young man. He's, you know, very articulate, and he's actually a pro se defendant. He is representing himself. And let me tell you, he has really given the DOJ a run for their money. And he is charged with the obstruction charge, and he shouldn't be. He's another one, didn't go inside. It's again, I should have mentioned to you about Tom Cotton before I came on, so you could have played the clip, but, it's, you know, it's about time is all I can say, you know, kudos to him for, you know, really going at Lisa Monaco today. I'm very sure it was Lisa Monaco, you know, about this. And this is what we need because, you know, pretty much we're only getting lip service from Speaker McCarthy and Jim Jordan.
Yeah. That was something I wanted to segue into at some point. And I, as you were talking, I was jotting down a few notes. You know, we all know that Kevin McCarthy gave Tucker Carlson's producers access to, I don't know if all or most of the, of whatever, 14,000 plus hours of closed circuit security camera footage. I wanted to get, I think that happened after we were on, did a show together, but I wanted to get your opinion on what you thought of that. I'm actually hearing that other media sources are actually filing lawsuits to gain access to the video footage, which, listen, that video footage, in my opinion, there should be a public domain website for every American to be able to go on and see every single minute, every single second of what went on. And I think it's unbelievably disgusting how there are judges that actually are, from what I'm understanding and reading, and I'd love to be wrong, but I don't think I am, that are actually denying the defense access to that video footage. What is your whole take on that whole, the Tucker Carlson and Kevin McCarthy and what's going on with the video footage now?
Well, you know, listen, I love Tucker. I'm a very big fan of Tucker's. Mm-hmm. I think he is one of the only honest, you know, direct, you know, news reporters that we have. You know, he gives it to you on both sides. I mean, just last night he had, you know, Bobby Kennedy Jr. on there. Yeah. You know, he tries to, I feel, be neutral. But I was disappointed in him with this because he honed in on, you know, Jake Chansley. And while it's important, we need to talk about that stuff. You know, Jake Chansley is just one of many stories. I mean, right. My nephew is charged with the same exact stuff as Jake Chansley. And nobody wants to talk about Tim because of all the controversy around Tim with the stupid pictures and the, you know, the memes that came out of his phone and the videos. So, but I wish that Tucker would have explored more and talked about other people. Like, you know, there's look at Julian Cater. You know, he's a New Jersey native.
Right.
And, you know, he just got hit with 80 months in prison. And he didn't, and he's another one that didn't go inside. But because it involved Officer Sicknick, and Officer Sicknick, unfortunately, you know, and tragically passed away, you know, they threw the book at this kid. He should have talked about that. He should have shown more video, but he didn't for some reason. And he only spent a week talking about it. So that was, you know, a bit disappointing. Now, I recently heard that Jim Jordan, you know, who heads up the Weaponization Committee, is not going to be talking about January 6th, is not going to be investigating January 6th. And that's really a shame and a travesty.
It's more than a shame and a travesty. Listen, I like Tucker as well. I wish he would leave Fox. I think he could get a much bigger platform and probably make more money for himself if he left Fox. I like that Dan Bongino just announced that he's leaving Fox. Yeah. I hate Fox. I think Fox is holding Tucker down, but I get it. You know, it is what it is, media, money, and all that. But I agree with you. He only talked about it for a week. It was a flash in the pan. To me, it was like a big nothing burger other than, oh, look, Buffalo Man with the horns. Look, he's getting that, you know. I think there was a lot of theater there because there are more important stories, and that people like Jim Jordan who are just, you know, this was the whole thing in the midterms. Like, oh, the Republicans are going to grab the House and they're going to do some type of pseudo reverse January 6th committee and go after all of Nancy Pelosi's information. And none of that happened. It's complete bullshit.
And, yes.
And this is the thing where we are not, and I've been saying, nobody is holding any Republicans accountable for the lack of action on anything. All right. Whether it's January 6th and other issues, they're there, they're having their theater. Marjorie Taylor Greene's running her mouth. I was a fan at one time, not a huge fan now. Everybody has a lot to say when they're behind the podium, but nobody's doing anything, especially for January 6th, the families. You know, I know you were at Mar-a-Lago not too long ago. You had texted me pictures. You and Jerry Perney had the dinner with Donald Trump. And I know that he's doing things behind the scenes. And, you know, listen, he's talking about things that if and when he gets back in the White House, he would consider pardons and things like that. Like, we'll move to Donald Trump in a minute, because I know you're direct access. You know, you become a friend of his, and I know he is an advocate and a supporter of January 6th defendants, and he does a lot behind the scenes from what it sounds like. But these Republicans like Jim Jordan and others, I'll even throw Matt Gaetz in there. A lot of them, Cynthia, and people who I respect and who I see do good things. Well, they're not doing shit for January 6th.
It's true. I mean, unfortunately, we can't deny it. It's true. you know, in MTG's defense, because, mm-hmm. you know, I love MTG. I've been in her company a lot, and I've had some good conversations with her, and she's really a very, you know, strong woman. But she's one person. You know, she was just recently in the jail, and, you know, getting calls from some of the guys in the jail, they said, you know, it was kind of, you know, a big hype of nothing. But she, again, she's only one person. And I do think that she is doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes and talking to a lot of members about what's going on with January 6th. But if others don't join in with her and, you know, help her, what's going to come of it? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't have any senators. There's no senators talking about January 6th. At one time, Senator Ron Johnson was talking about it. But you don't have anybody talking about it. I ran into Jim Jordan at a Save America rally in Ohio last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went right over to him and I asked him, do you know who Matthew Perna is? And he told me no. I was blown away by that. I mean, Matthew is from, you know, the Perna family is from Pennsylvania, but they're right there on the border of Pennsylvania and Ohio.
And it was
It was a huge story. But then I asked him, do you know who Jessica Watkins is? And he said, no. And I said, well, she's your constituent. And she's rotting away in a jail. And I want to tell you, Alan, she's a transgender person. And she doesn't have criminal history. She served in the Army. And, you know, everybody is silent about her. The ACLU is doing nothing to help her. The LGBTQ community is doing nothing to help her. Nobody is speaking out for her at all. And that poor thing has been rotting away in the DC jail since January of 21. It's sick and disgusting. And you know what his answer, what his question was to me? First question, not is she okay? How can I help? What is she charged with? And I knew right then and there, we would never get anywhere with him. And that's disappointing because he's a great one. He is. But it's disappointing and he doesn't want to go anywhere near January 6th.
So I like Jim Jordan to a degree. And while, you know, even before the primary, and I've called him out on a few things. Listen, I'm tired of members of Congress writing books while they're members of Congress and going on book tours and making money and talking a lot and doing nothing. And, you know, I see that he's now in the seat of power. I guess you'll say that we have the majority and the weaponization committee and everything. I like what he's doing now. I want to see results because we didn't see any results from Jim Jordan before, you know, before this. We're not seeing real results now out of most of them, but I get it was very hard and I'll give them the benefit of the doubt because they did not have the majority. Listen, I think we just passed 100 days of their 2-year term, right? So they need to start showing some results with January 6th and other things. You know, for instance, just completely off topic, I've been talking about this a lot. I just tweeted about it. Everybody's now, you know, the guns are a hot topic. You have Republicans talking, you know, the Republicans' argument is buy more guns, buy more guns, buy more guns. Hey, I'm all for that. Democrats are ban more guns, ban more guns, ban all guns. But what are the Republicans doing other than screaming, buy more guns? Like this is, to me, and I don't know if this has ever been done, and I feel like it's just too easy. And I doubt I'm the one that thought of this, but every Republican congressman and senator should be in their districts. And while they're having emergency, their Narcan training and their town halls on this and their town halls on that, why aren't they collaborating with the NRA, every gun dealer, every gun manufacturer, and every gun safety instructor within their district to have free gun safety education seminars for their constituents to advocate why guns are important and the Second Amendment? It sounds completely stupid if you break it down that it could be that easy, because I see all my congressmen around here having, yeah, we'll teach you how to use Narcan when your nephew ODs on fentanyl because it's all coming in from the border, and we'll have something that we can get you discounts on your home insurance and all that crap. Nobody wants to do anything for their constituents as far as this is what gun control, this is what gun education is about, this is what gun safety is about. You can completely off topic of January 6th, but the point that I'm making is they're doing nothing but a lot of talking about a lot of things. And to me, it's a lot of political theater and word salad.
Yeah, it's lip service. That's all they offer, you know, is lip service. I'll tell you, you know, before January 6th happened, so Tim was in the Army Reserves, right? And he was in for 12 years. And he also worked on the military base that he lived at. And and he was the shop steward. And he really fought for his guys a lot. And there was a lot of, you know, corruption going on. The whole department was run by a woman who hates men. And, you know, she would make it very hard. Most of the men that worked in this job were military men and, you know, police officers who were active, you know, reservists and had to do their weekend warrior stuff, you know. And yeah. She would give everybody a hard time. So Tim started, you know, a paper trail, and he was talking to a congressman here in our state, Chris Smith. And I have all the paperwork, and I saw all the back and forth and everything that Tim was providing to him. Okay. And when Tim got arrested, Chris Smith wouldn't talk to me. Chris Smith still won't talk to me, but I'll tell you who spoke to me was his Mike Crispy. Mike Crispy spoke to me several times. Okay.
Yeah, Mike Crispy is a good friend of mine. Chris Smith, I was a huge supporter of Mike Crispy and his congressional run against that 40 something year rhino, Chris Smith, who doesn't even live in your state, Cynthia. He hasn't lived in your state since the 80s. I don't understand it. He's a bag of shit.
What?
He doesn't.
Why don't I know this?
Chris Smith doesn't even live in your state. He does not. He has not lived in your state for a long, long time. Chris Smith. He's never in district. Doesn't live in the state. I believe he lives in Virginia. Don't quote me on that. But that was one of the things Mike Crispy was talking about. I mean, like, the guy's never around. He's never been run against in a. He's never been primary. Chris Smith, and Mike Crispy, I believe, got like almost 50% of the vote in the primary, and Chris Smith has never been primary before. I forget what the actual number was, but I went to all of Mike Crispy's events. Roger Stone was his campaign manager, helped him a lot. And what was disappointing is because Chris Smith's people were giving the Trump camp a lot of fake polling. We found out through Mike Crispy's attorney that there was a lot of fake polling given to the Trump camp. And they were showing it to Trump, and Roger Stone was advocating, Rudy Giuliani and General Flynn were advocating for a Trump endorsement for Mike Crispy. They left the he left it alone. He didn't endorse Chris Smith, but he didn't endorse Mike Crispy. And I believe that Mike, if he gave the endorsement to Mike Crispy, would have pushed him over the edge in the primary. But they convinced Donald Trump, the people around him, because of money and Chris Smith and fake polling, that Mike Crispy was not able to win in the general. And that's why they basically stepped on him in the primary. But Chris Smith is garbage.
Well, aside from a political, you know, opinion about him, yeah. I guess it is a political opinion. You know, he didn't care about the people in New Jersey that got caught up in January 6th. As a matter of fact, I believe he was one of the people that voted, you know, for, you know, the January 6th committee to be put together.
Yes, he did.
And
he did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so, you know, I spoke one of my very first event that I ever spoke at, you know, which, you know, when I started this, that's what I had to do, right? And I'm still, when I go to events now, I still get very nervous.
I'm gonna see you next month at a speaking event, I think, in New York, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes. But my first event was at a Mike Crispy event. I spoke at his first event in Toms River, New Jersey, and Roger Stone was there.
Yeah.
You might have been there.
I was actually the only event that I didn't make.
Okay. Yeah. So my first event that I spoke and the people wanted to know what was going on with January 6th that were there. We were talking about it and they were very intrigued and they were all coming up to me. And, you know, Roger, you know, he was making some comments about it and he was talking about what was going on. And then Ashley, you know, Ashley Lamb and Mike, you know, spoke out.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, I don't know what the answer is here, but I got to tell you, we are far beyond this being a Republican or Democratic thing. This is a Donald Trump thing. I mean, we just got to put it out there and say how it is, right?
Yeah.
And so how it is this: you have a group of Americans who support that man and love that man so much that they're being used as pawns and used as bait for a very corrupt group of people that want to, you know, keep him off of the ballot in 24.
Yeah.
So in order to do that, they have to create all of this mayhem in our country and hurt, you know, the American people. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, they're basically telling a group of people in this country, and a very large group of people in this country, you can't vote for who you want. You're not going to vote for him. We're not going to allow you, or we're not going to let you. And, you know, and here we are. And I will tell you, so, you know, I've had the honor of being in President Trump's company a few times now. Yep. And so a few weeks ago, I was down in Florida. We were filming part two of our docuseries with some new families that you won't see in part one. We went to an event at Mar-a-Lago on a Friday night. And when I got there, I got my name tag, and there was a little note on it. And it said, you know, at such and such time, you know, go to room, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. And so when I got there, there was like seven other people there, and we were all there to see him and get a picture with him and, you know, do a hello and goodbye. And, you know, you could feel something very heavy on him. You know, you could kind of feel weight on him. Well, the next morning is when he announced, you know, what was happening with, you know, that dude up in New York. And
Pat Alvin Bragg.
And I didn't tell him that I was in the ballroom with all of these January 6 families. I could not add another brick to his load. I wasn't going to do it in that moment, right? So, and I felt terrible because I know the families wanted to see him so bad. And he came in and he spoke. And when he was leaving after he, you know, got done speaking, he just wasn't his normal engaging self, right? I knew I was going to be seeing him again in like a few days after that day. So when I saw him, I, you know, I told him just what I'm telling you. And he did this. He went, why didn't anybody tell me that these families were in the ballroom? And I just was like, I couldn't, you know, you know, I mean, so anyway, he asked me, you know, are they still here? And I said, yes, you know, we're filming. And he said, I want you to bring those families to Mar-a-Lago, you know, the next night for dinner. I want to see them. I want to talk to them. I want to reassure them. I want them to hear from me. And so you're talking about a man with the weight of the world and probably 10 other worlds on his shoulder.
Sure.
Okay. His family, you know, is going through hell. Mm-hmm. His grandchildren, I mean, his staff, you name it. And he wanted to make sure that these families were okay and that they heard from him. So he put all his stuff aside, you know, as the class act that he is, to talk to them and reassure them. And let me tell you, Alan, it was epic.
Sure. That was I saw that was the picture. Jerry Perner, I think, was there with you. I saw the picture of you guys that you had texted me the next day of him with the families. And listen, there's a lot that I know that Donald Trump can do behind the scenes from what I hear from people. And there are things that he can't do because they are behind the scenes things. And, you know, that they're. To those people out there that say, well, Donald Trump's not doing anything for January 6 families.
Sure.
It's completely untrue. People like you know it. And other people like Christina Bobb, his attorney, says the same thing. That there's a lot going on behind the scenes. But he's not. And I'm glad he's not out there. Hey, look what I'm doing for all these people, because he is a presidential candidate and he's not. He could easily, if he wanted to, use everything that he's doing as a political campaign to get votes. He could, yeah. But he's not doing that from what I see. He's not doing that.
He doesn't want to, and he doesn't need to. And let me tell you, you know, he spoke to every single one of the family members that were there. And, you know, individually, he addressed them all. And those families walked away saying to themselves, like, well, and to me and to the public, now I understand, you know, it was worth it that my loved one, you know, went there that day to support him. And, you know, and it makes sense
Right.
You know, my loved one is rotting and, you know, languishing in a jail cell. I don't know if you know who Jeremy Brown is. So
Jeremy Brown, actually, my co-host James Curry is friends with him. And he had called into our other show that we do. And it's tragic because they had convicted him on some ridiculous firearms charge to hold him in jail after they went to his house. He refused to cooperate and be an informant for the FBI. And then they raided his house for 6 hours and he wasn't even in the Capitol.
Yeah, I know. I know. Believe me, I know. I brought Jeremy's mom and girlfriend to Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, Jeremy's mom is, you know, this sweet little thing and, you know, just broken. This is her baby. And let me tell you, President Trump treated her like an angel. I call her little Lisa, little Miss Mama Brown. She's a sweetheart. She was an absolute sweetheart. I was just talking to Tylene yesterday, you know, we have the lawyers, you know, lawyers on the case for, you know, his January 6th stuff that's about to come up. And, you know, I don't let these lawyers railroad these people. And so when you're trying to ask for a ridiculous amount of money and you said you wanted to take the case on because, you know, you want to be involved and you want to help and you want to do all these things and, you know, you believe in the Constitution, and then you turn around and you ask somebody who, you know, doesn't have it for $100,000. I got a problem with that, Alan. I went to bat for the Jeremy Brown family yesterday, and I will continue to do that. And if people want donate to us, you know, we would be able to help them more. You know, we're doing the best that we can to help.
That's the website here. I just brought it up. PatriotFreedomProject.com. There's a donate now button. And I wanted to get into this because, listen, if you're looking to throw a few dollars somewhere, everybody, this is an organization, because what Cynthia does with the Patriot Freedom Project, you, Jerry, right? Was it your other Ed Martin, right?
Ed Martin. Board member.
Right. You know, you are using this money to pay for attorneys to represent January 6th politically prosecuted people. You're also using it to help families, the collateral damage, because now these people are sitting in jail, okay, losing that income. You have women at home with children who lost that income, who now can't pay their rent, can't pay their mortgage, can't pay their bills. And isn't that something that you're doing also with the money that you're raising? You're helping them pay mortgages, rents, and bills and other expenses and legal defense?
Yes. We try to, you know, the families are our first priority, you know, the women and their children. You know, that gives these men peace of mind knowing that their families are being helped. I get, you know, amazing letters from a lot of the people that are in jail,
right?
You know, saying, you know, these men say it, you know, thank God, you know, there's somebody out here who's making sure, you know, there's a roof over my four children, my five children's head. You know, we've paid COBRA, you know, so many families have lost their health insurance, you know, so we've paid some COBRA. You know, we're trying to, you know, create some kind of path for families who have lost their health insurance where it's affordable for them. You know, and then you got to think about what comes after prison.
Right.
You know, you have marriages. I mean, I don't want to say any names, but, you know, we have a lot of marriages that are on the rocks right now. And, you know,
can they not be?
Of course, you know, and, so, but we have a support group, and, you know, we have mental health professionals that are involved, and, you know, we gotta grow that. And I need to hear from like really profound people that work in the mental health industry that really want to help, that don't want to get involved because they're nosy, because they want to know what's going on, that really want to help, you know, because we've seen a little bit of that. I have to be honest with you.
I'm sure you have, you know, there's that term, who wants to grift off January 6th? We know that. I mean, that there are people out there that will accuse people like yourself or actually helping people. That happened to you. I mean, people accused you of making money off January 6th, and you're out here paying people's mortgages and legal defense fees. You know, I mean, you're what is it? So it's a nonprofit. What is it? What's the organization?
We're actually a 501c3.
Okay.
And we're approved. We're an approved 501c3. So if you donate to us, it's a tax, you know, you'll get a tax deduction for it. I take a beating in the media. I have, I can't even say in the media, you know, where I take the beating. I take the beating with other January 6 people, to be very honest with you.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful because I am not the one who's doing any grifting, and I'll just leave it at that. But there is a lot of grifting going on, and it's very sad. And it's sad for people who are on the fence that see all this nonsense online, and they, you know, they're not sure. Do I want to donate? Do I not want to donate? You know, I talk to everybody. I talk to anybody if I can.
Yeah.
I'm starting to kind of pull back from that a little bit because, you know, you just never know who you're talking to, but, right. And I want to be careful, but, you know, receipts don't lie, Alan, and tax papers don't lie. You know, we've gone through an audit.
Speaking of tax papers, there's your official approval for your 501c3, right from the IRS. That's on your website. I just brought it up. There it is.
Yes. Yes. And there's going to be more added to that in the coming days. And people are just going to, you know, they're not going to be able to. Well, you know,
it's out of jealousy. It's out of jealousy because here's the thing, too. They also see you at Mar-a-Lago. They also see that you have a direct pipeline to the 45th president of the United States. I'll be honest with you, Cynthia. I was told by one of Trump's lawyers that you have a direct pipeline to the president. I was told that yesterday, as a matter of fact, from a Trump attorney. But and people are going to be jealous of just that. Of just that, people are going to be jealous about it. It's absurd that you're actually out there, boots on the ground, doing the work. And because of that and just other things, they're jealous.
And it's sad because, you know, I'm really an open book, and I'm all about the, you know, the unity and bringing everybody together. I mean, if you go online and, you know, you go to the different social media platforms and you see the hate towards me, I mean, people will see it. I don't respond. I don't respond to any of it. I don't have time, and I don't have the energy to be bothered with that.
Right.
I have a mission, and I'm going to stick to that, and I'm going to stay focused. There's a lot of families that have been helped from this foundation and this platform. There's a lot more families that are going to be helped because of this platform. And I just, you know, I just stay in my lane, Alan. I just stay quiet. I'm a very, you know, authentic person. I'm a very godly person. You know, I have a lot of faith in what I'm doing. This is not easy work. It is not easy to make the decisions that I have to make, but that's why we have a board. And, you know, and, I'm going to keep going. No, but nobody's, there's only one person that's going to stop me. And, I hope he's not ready for me yet.
Listen, when I was introduced to you through our very good friend, Roan from Steak for Breakfast podcast, who
love Roan,
tremendous show. I'm sure he's going to be listening to the show tonight while he's at work. You know, when he came to me and spoke so highly of you, people don't understand Roan from Steak for Breakfast. When he has all of Trump world through his show, from Liz Harrington to Cash Patel to Peter Navarro, all who's who. He actually may be having the 45th president on the show at some point very soon, but he literally vets to no end. He vets the people. He vets the organizations because he will not put his unbelievable popular show on the line for somebody who is a grifter, who is a scam artist, who is not doing anything for the cause. And when him and I had the conversation with you, I says, listen, whatever I could do to help Cynthia and the Patriot Freedom Project, media wise and anywhere else I possibly can, I will do that. So I, you know, people out there, if you're literally looking to help January 6th defendants with legal defense, with their mortgages, bills, therapy, rent, you name it, anything that you could think of possibly that comes with a price tag, go over to Patriot Freedom Project, patriotfreedomproject.com and donate there. The docuseries is part one is out, right? What's the website again for the docuseries?
So part one is out. It's dueprocessdenied.org.
Right.
And if you go to dueprocessdenied.org, you can see, you can see part one on Vimeo. And, hopefully we're going to get it on some other platforms here soon. But we also wrote a book, Alan. We have a book out. And the book is called Due Process Denied, The Detain, the Families, the Fallout. And we wrote the book. And a few other people, helped me, with the book, Sean Morgan and Jerry Perna and Ed. And we had a great editor. And we got it published through Post Hill Press, which is really epic. Thank you to Post Hill Press and the crew over there. They're amazing people. And I just love them. They really had a lot of faith in me and support. And I'm really grateful to them. And so the book just tells you of the journey. It talks about what due process is and how it's being denied. And it talks about some of the families that I've connected with and helped. And it's just a smidgen of the families that we've connected with and helped.
Probably a library of these books with all the families that you helped and are continuing to help.
I could write another book right now, seriously, on just, the families and their stories. It talks about, how Patriot Freedom Project came to be. It talks about a little bit about me and, why I did this. And the main thing about this book, because when I first got the opportunity to write this book, I kind of was like, I'm very open, Alan, I'm not an author. I'm a very good writer. I can write, great letters. I can write, stories. I'm a very good writer. An author? No, I'm not an author. Okay.
You are now. Congratulations. You are now. You're an author, Cynthia. You wrote a book. So that's your resume. Cynthia Hughes, the from the Patriot Freedom Project and author of Due Process Denied.
Well, thank you. You're a sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you so much. The biggest thing for me, why I wanted to do this book, I wanted to humanize my nephew.
Sure.
And when you read about him, I feel you get a different, if you look at things online and you're like, oh my God, but if you read about him, you feel like you'll know him. And he's got a heartbreaking past, a heartbreaking story. But the one thing that, I've always been so impressed with him, he was never a victim of his circumstances. And he's really had some very rough circumstances. He's not my biological nephew. As you know, I grew up with his mother and father. And, he doesn't have much family. His family is very small. And, but I'm his family. And even though there's a lot of controversy with him and many people probably would have shut the door and walked away, I wasn't going to do that. See, I'm true to myself. So I'll take the hits that I'm getting and I'll take the beating that I'm getting. But at least I know I can lay my head on a soft pillow at night because I didn't abandon him
right
the way many other people did in his life. So that was my main reason. I needed to humanize him. And so the book came together great. And Sean Morgan was really great. I don't know if you know who Sean Morgan is.
Yeah. I've heard of him. Yeah, he wrote a few books, didn't he? Isn't he a Bitcoin guy too?
Yeah,
I know he's done a few things, but it's I just ordered it just now on Amazon. It's on Amazon, everybody. So go to Amazon.com, Due Process Denied, paperback, 16, almost $17. Order it because you'll be supporting a great organization and you'll get the lowdown of it's on the Kindle also on there for those of who don't want books. But people got to get this book. I think you're having in New York City soon a speaking event at a great club that I'm a member of and a book signing, right? The New York Young Republican Club. It's going to be you, Alex Bruchewitz, and Ed Martin, correct?
Yes. So, and Jerry Perna will be there with us too.
Oh, good. I get to meet you guys both in person. Maybe we'll pick a place. I have to take you guys out to dinner.
Yes. There'll be a few other families there. And so it's, you know, they got to get, you got to hear their stories. It's, and especially the Matthew Perna story. I was with Jerry in Florida, you know, as you know, and when everything calmed down and I was working my, cause we drove, cause I stopped to see a lot of families along the way. And so on my way out of Florida, you know, I went to see Jer, and Matt's dad was there, and, so sad.
Yeah. I'll tell you, that was when I had her on the show. That was, you know, I'm not much gets to me. I've had an interesting life experience. I've seen a lot of trauma, been through a lot of trauma, but that when I had her on the show and she was speaking about her nephew. For those out there, Matthew Perna was convicted of, he pled guilty. He was waiting to get sentenced. Wasn't a very long sentence, but they were trying to add I believe it was a terrorism aspect to it. And he just, he had a broken heart, no criminal history. He just couldn't take it. And unfortunately he committed suicide. And it was really hard how people really, really reacted to that harshly. And Jerry, his aunt who's such an amazing lady. And just when she was talking about it, that was a rough show. That was a rough show to get through. I was happy to hear it, but, it may sound bad, but I was happy when it was over, because that was a tough one. It's a horrible story, and that's not the only story like that. And it's really unfortunate, because I don't even want to think it, but it's probably not going to be the last story like that, because of the way things are going. It's with these people that are being treated unfairly with their trials and sentencing, and literally being denied their due process. I mean, the whole thing with the videos, Kevin McCarthy said in an interview with Breitbart shortly after, if all of the footage was going to be released to the public, and he said in time, not sure when, they're going through it all, but in time. And I really don't buy it. I think they're just going to try to avoid the subject. And as long as people are not talking about it, which they should, we should be screaming about it. They're not going to release it.
I agree. I wish I could say that wasn't the truth, but I agree. And it's greatly disappointing. But, you know, you mentioned earlier on in the show where you said how the Press Coalition was kind of joining in on some motions, right, to get the video released. Yeah. So if you remember earlier, I was talking to you about the guy who's pro se.
Yes.
That's whose motion they're trying to join in on. And this kid is, I mean, I call him a kid because he's younger than me, you know, he's in his 30s, but he's extraordinary. He is truly extraordinary. He should be a lawyer. His emotions are profound. A lot of the big, you know, journalists, social media journalists, Steve Baker, Joe Hanneman, Kyle Chaney, a lot of the big names like that, you know, they retweet a lot of his stuff. They speak on his stuff. They write about his stuff. Darren Beatty, he's another one. So people should pay attention to Will's case, Will Pope. Will doesn't have any fundraising going on or anything like that. He's really solely focused on his case. But I'll tell you, if anybody wanted to donate to Will's cause, they could, you know, donate to us directly. And, you know, he won't take, you know, funding from anybody. And, you know, he's lost his job in this. And, you know, he's very passionate about this country, loves this country. And, he's facing an uphill battle. He really is. But I'll tell you, he is keeping this DOJ on their toes. Let me tell you right now.
I was going to ask you why is he representing himself and not using whether it's funded by an organization like yours, an attorney?
I think that he had a public defender early on. I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on that. But I think he had kind of a biased public defender maybe early on.
Yeah.
He had called standby counsel. So somebody that he can, you know, turn to and reference or whatever, but he's incredibly smart. I mean, he is a lawyer. He just doesn't have the paperwork, you know, to back it up.
I get it.
And I got news for you. when you know the law as well as he does, and you can investigate your own case and your own discovery and your own facts as well as he does, why not represent yourself?
Sure.
Why not, you know, argue? Who's going to argue better for you? You know what I mean? Than yourself. And he does a great job.
Well, good. Will Pope. I have to follow that a little more closely. Honestly, it was the first time I've heard of him, so I'm glad you brought that up. I want to just wrap up with a general question. What do you think? I'm very active on Twitter, and I'm amassing a pretty decent following. I'm actually a few of the January 6th defendants are following me. The one, I forget his name, but he's the lectern guy, the guy who took Nancy Pelosi's podium. And not him. I'm just in general just saying, but I am seeing some January 6ers that are coming out harshly against Donald Trump. And I found it profound where now, I wasn't seeing this a lot early on, but like blaming him for their actions or things that they got jammed up in court in, that they literally blaming him. And I actually left a few comments, but nobody commented back, wondering if, and I hope this isn't the case with the going into this presidential primary, that let's just say the DeSantis camp, because there's a lot of infighting going on between Trump people on Twitter and DeSantis people on Twitter. I've been involved in a few. That the DeSantis camp isn't going and reaching out to January 6th defendants that are not incarcerated or maybe incarcerated and trying to fuel them to turn against Donald Trump for more political theater going into the presidential campaign.
I don't think so. Okay. I think that, first of all, Ron DeSantis has not spoken one single solitary word about January 6th.
No, he has not. And how many January 6th defendants were from Florida?
The majority of January 6th defendants come from Florida. Okay. You got Jeremy Brown, you got Ken Harrelson, you got the Pollack family, you got the whole Pollack family caught up in this. You have Chris Worrell, who's going on trial next week. I heard from a woman, the wife of Nick. I never know how to say his last name. It's like OCHS or something like that. And it's like Ox or something. And, you know, he just started his prison term. His wife is pregnant. She's about to give birth to her baby any day now. And this man just started his 4-year prison sentence. They're from Florida. Okay. And I could keep going. I could give you a ton of names right now. Jerry Perna, she lives in Florida. Yeah. Okay. I mean, there's so many.
Ron DeSantis has done absolutely nothing to advocate for January 6th for his constituents. Has done absolutely nothing. Has nothing. Said nothing. Done nothing.
Nothing.
It's really disheartening that America's governor. He did say some negative things about January 6th people early on. He did say some things that I think he regrets saying, where he maybe should have taken the foot out of his mouth and went, full stop in support of his constituents who are rotting in jail for nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, he hasn't said a single word. And, you know, and President Trump has said, you know, he's talked about January 6th many times. He's met with me many times. He met with these family members a few weeks ago. He has endorsed me. He has endorsed, you know, many of the families of January 6th. He has spoken up on their behalf. He's saddened by this. His heart is broken by what's happening to, you know, his supporters and people that, you know, really care for him. But let's just put it on the table right now and be very honest. Okay. There are over 1,000 people that are caught up in January 6th. Okay. And there's a group of people within that 1,000 number who went to the Capitol and they did bad things.
Yes.
Whether they were true Trump supporters or whether they were posing as a Trump supporter, they went to the Capitol and they did some bad things.
Well,
that is not his fault.
There's an investigative reporter in New York City I'm very close with. Actually, if you want to grab him on Twitter, he's Viral News NYC. You know, he's on Instagram as Leroy News. The guy's in the know. He's out there every day. And him and I were down in downtown Manhattan together the day of Donald Trump's indictment at the protest. And he actually, the woman was there who posed, and I don't remember her name, but she was there with about a dozen plus people. He exposed them back in February and ran a little story on it that they were at January 6th posing as Trump supporters with MAGA hats, the whole thing, and trying to promote, you know, violence and other things. Because she was there, she stuck a camera in our face and she had her black hat on and her mask on, and she is 100% a member of an Antifa organization, underground Antifa organization in New York. I saw her face to face, and I remember back in February when he had the videos of her in a Trump hat with her, with friends of hers in and on the Capitol grounds. And that was about a dozen people. Now imagine, and they were from New York, so imagine how many others were there, Cynthia, that were not true Donald Trump supporters, that were members of Antifa who were getting dressed and changed behind the bush and who were beating people. And then you have the, you know, between the FBI and Ray Epps, you know, it was a complete shit show. I mean, you know, people can say no and deny it all they want, but facts are facts.
It's true. And, you know, and Alan, I gotta just keep it real here. You know, I mean, there are some Trump supporters that are now, you know, turning on him, you know, they want to throw him under the bus to save their own butt. And I get it. I mean, I understand that, but
we're pressured to by the DOJ. They're pressured to.
Yeah. I'll tell you, my nephew, they, you know, his first public defender, they wanted him to take a plea deal. He would never, he was falling on this sword. He loves Trump so much. He was falling on this sword no matter what. And, but the reality is this: President Trump is a president of law and order. He is a president of the police. He does not condone violence. He did not ask for violence that day. He did not ask anybody to come there and break into the Capitol and right. You know, break windows or whatever. And, you know, and some people that made those mistakes, like Rachel Powell from Pennsylvania, she unfortunately broke a window. She's living with the regret of that every day of her life. She's been on strict house arrest. She can't even walk outside her front door without the, you know, the ankle monitor going off. She's going to trial here very soon on the obstruction charge,
right.
You know, and destroying property. And they want to throw the book at her. This is a mother of eight. Okay. She doesn't blame President Trump for what she did that day. She's never once blamed him. Okay. And you have some people that want to do that. If you went to the Capitol on January 6th and you assaulted somebody, you broke something, that is not on Trump. That is on you.
Yes. 100%. 100%. Well, Cynthia, it's always an honor when you come and spend an hour with me. We have to do this more often because there's so much that I'm sure is going to be coming down the pipe. Going to get to see you next month, maybe the month after. And we'll do some stuff together because I want to try to help as much as I possibly can for the cause. But tell everybody where they can find the Patriot Freedom Project on social media and anywhere else you want to them to find you.
So, you know, obviously the website, patriotfreedomproject.com. You can go to dueprocessdenied.org. You can see how you can purchase our book, and you can see, you can follow the docuseries there. And you can find me on Twitter, RealPFP. You can find me on Truth Social, Patriot Freedom Project. That's really the only ones that I'm on. I am on other social media platforms, but that's where I'm active. Of course, I'm on Getter. How could I forget that?
Getter. We're live on Getter right now.
Yes, I'm on Getter, Patriot Freedom Project. And, you know, he's another one who's been very, very good to Patriot Freedom Project. What do you call him? Papa Bannon?
I don't call him Papa Bannon, but I know there are some people that do.
Yes, I think his name is Roan. So I love Roan. Roan, I love you, Roan, if you're listening.
Oh, he'll be listening tonight. He always does. He'll be at work. He'll be listening. Roan from Steak for Breakfast podcast. I'll actually be on their show tomorrow doing the news with them. But
okay.
And let's not forget the biggest endorsement right here.
And Cynthia Hughes and Gina Perno with the Patriot Freedom Project. What a job they do. Where are you?
You can't
Where
beat that.
Are you? Stand up. What a job. And we all appreciate it. We all appreciate it.
The woman standing in back of the crowd.
You can't beat that endorsement.
Did you see the woman standing in back of him clapping?
Yes.
They're a January 6th family.
Yeah, see? I mean, listen, it's Donald Trump is all in when it comes to January 6th.
Yes, he
January
is.
6th families. It's a fact. And we're going to see more of that. And when he is in the White House as the 47th president of the United States, I think we're going to see real action. Unfortunately, it has to wait that long because, listen, I'll come out and say it. The useless Republicans that are there now are just not going to, they're not going to touch it. They're not going to do anything because I think they're more worried about their reelections in 2024 as well. And it's a shame that, again, the game of politics will affect those rotting away in jail cells unnecessarily who are charged with nonsense crimes. So, I mean, it's...
Well, I'll tell you, Alan, if you'll just let me say one more thing.
Of course.
You know, we're coming up into election season for, you know, obviously the presidential election and different senators and congresspeople. And I would say this. This is not an endorsement at all by any means. But I'll just say this. If you're going to be in the political world in any capacity, you have to be true to yourself, right? I'm very true to myself. You're very true to yourself. Roan, he's true to himself. And so are many others. Okay. But if you really want to see what being true to yourself is and not giving a rat's, you know,
I just called you Jerry. Sorry, Jerry Pernas. Cynthia, you didn't curse once on the show. You didn't curse once.
I'm sorry. What kind of Jersey girl am I? What kind of Italian am I? but I'll tell you who people should look at and emulate more, and that is J.D. Vance. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
He donated to us early on. He took a beating for it. He backed away from us. He got nervous. I heard he said, you know, made a few comments behind the scenes that maybe he shouldn't have done it, but he stuck to his, you know, his authenticness and, you know, being authentic and being true to himself and authenticity, excuse me. And he won.
He did.
Okay. And he won. And in his debate with, what was his name? Was it Tim Kelly? Kelly? I forget.
Yeah, it's not Tom or Tim Kelly. Wow, I can't even remember already.
And he came at J.D. Vance and he was like, you know, you donated to that platform and, you know, you're endorsing people who assault the police. And, you know, that guy, you know, her nephew, he got 5 years in prison and blah, blah, blah. And he didn't back down from that. And he got elected. So the people in Congress who are facing election in 24, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, the people in the Senate, whatever you're facing, whatever, you know, go have a talk with J.D. Vance and let him tell you how to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think, again, a lot of these people, a lot of these politicians, they need to get their head out of their ass. And I think some of them might, their heart might be in the right place. But like you said, they're afraid because of, you know, re-election and campaigning and politics. And that all has to go away. We need true Americans who care about Americans, not just votes, you know, to do the right thing for January 6th, you know, defendants who don't deserve to be rotting in jail and just on other issues as well.
Right.
Well, Cynthia, again, I appreciate you, you coming on. Oh my God, I lost you. What happened? She left already. Well, we'll get her back. She'll be back with us at some point soon. And until then, I will be back tomorrow, Freedom Friday with James. I will talk to you all. Yeah, tomorrow's Friday, right? Tomorrow, Freedom Friday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Be there. Me and James Curry. Talk to you soon.